I said you could hear okay.
Yeah. So, okay, sweet. Thank you. Okay. So, my name is Charlie Vitito, and I'm a Louisvillian, born and raised here. This has been my church, our family's church, for 35 years. I was a practicing dentist about a mile down the road until 2008, and the Lord released me from that, very surprisingly. I love dentistry, but He said, your time is up. So I didn't know what I was going to do next. And so the next thing was, about a year after I retired from dentistry, I became the missions pastor at Southeast Christian Church. And so for the last, for 12 years I did that. I retired about 2.5 years ago. And Will Rogers, who has always directed this conference, took my position at Southeast. So I am very passionate about healthcare. I've seen firsthand the power of healthcare to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus. So before we start, let me pray. Lord, we thank you today. I want to pray a little bit of a selfish prayer that I would communicate clearly the things that are on your heart. Lord, we just pray that you would create a deeper oneness in the body of Christ around the world. That, Lord, you would speak to us this week individually about the plans and the purposes you have for us. Guide us, Lord. Direct us, Lord. May we have those divine conversations, those holy moments when you speak to us. And may we experience you in ways and depths that will propel us to share these things that you put in us with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's start with the present state of missions around the world. So, in the year 2000, there are about 3,500 unreached people groups. Today, in just 24 years, there's less than 100. You younger folks around here, you'll never hear the word unreached people groups anymore, because it won't exist. Bible translation is accelerated off the chart. It could be by the year 2035 that every language on earth will have the Bible translated. It'll have the New Testament. Those are significant, once-in-a-lifetime things that our forefathers have been praying for 2,000 years. Even 400 deaf languages will have the New Testament in their heart language. So the evangelistic work of our forefathers and their disciples over the last 2.5 centuries has produced incredible fruit. So let me show you this map as to where we stand today in Christianity. Has anybody seen this map? Oh, great. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, this map is very interesting. It shows in the year 1900, most believers lived in the U.S. and in Europe. And now there's been this massive shift to the global south, where 67% of all believers now reside in the global south. That would be Africa, Latin America, and Asia. So the days of missionaries from the west packing their belongings in their coffins, going to a country or to a land where the gospel wasn't, and fully expecting to come home in that casket because of the diseases that they would face, is over. It's a new day. This massive growth of Christianity in the global South has created tens of millions of churches. That is good news. Replacements, reinforcements have arrived for the final push. We are in the last days. Do you see that movie? It's on Disney, it might be. Hamilton, the play? What did Alexander Hamilton say? He said, "Don't take away my shot." You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. One person does. Then he said, "Rise up." So, your shot is about up because this is an overwhelming army that God has amassed to finish the task and to go to the ends of the earth. So, we pass a baton. But in a real relay race, when you pass a baton, you rest and sit. But not so anymore. we're still in the game. And so we have seen this shift from the global north to the global south. And so you saw an example of that today in Brother Daniel when he was preaching. Sorry about that, guys. He came to faith, and 6,000 scholars, Islamic, the heads of Islam. Some of these scholars will have 10,000 followers in their mosque, and when they come to faith, they disappear. So, if you get a conversation with him, have him tell you some of the stories about what he has to deal with. But we have lots of these Global South leaders in this room today, and you'll get to meet a few of them here in a little bit. But so this army, what did Jesus pray for us? That we'd be one? So he gives us some guidance in the scriptures about how we're to work together. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about us. The human body has many parts, and many parts make up one whole body, and we are one small part of that very large body with Jesus at the head. In Ephesians 4, he makes the whole body of Christ perfectly fit together as each part does its specific task. And I love this scripture from John 13. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. This may be our most effective evangelistic tool, just to simply love one another, because the world takes notice that we're his disciples. And Jesus gave us his glory and authority. And he continues to pray that we would experience the oneness that he has with the Father. So let's push pause just for a second on those thoughts. So remember, we're one body. Each of us has a unique, special work. And we're to love one another because it gives testimony to the world of Christ's love. So I want to introduce something to you, probably most of you heard about. It's called holistic transformational development. If you've heard of that, raise your hand. Raise it high so I can see. Okay, so maybe 15% of you. Okay. I'm convinced that this is a powerful movement going forward when we look at the scripture through the lens of holistic ministry. Whole means the whole. It permeates all things. It's transformational to people, and it transforms communities as the church engages that way. It's developmental, not relief-oriented. Relief is sorely needed in a crisis. There's a hurricane, we're there. We convoy of hope. Will be Samaritan's Purse will be the first ones there. Earthquake, when it devastates, like in Haiti a decade ago, we rush in to save lives. We just don't live with a relief mindset, because that's what creates dependency. So these principles I'm going to talk about are for interdependent relationships. Relationships and partnerships between the global north and the global south. And also, these principles apply when a church enters a community to have an impact. So, number one, prayer is foundational. It's like buttons on a shirt. That first button you get right, all the rest of them fall in place. Prayer aligns, it unites, it propels, it guides, it deepens relationships. It also honors God's glory big time. So, Daniel at TI, many of you just heard, every year, the first 40 days of the year, they launched the year with a 40-day fast and prayer. And they so looked forward to that for 6 months. That's the real work of ministry is prayer. The number two is unity of the body of Christ. When the men and women of God that he has placed as spiritual gatekeepers over a community pray together, transformation is ushered in. And this applies especially just as much to the U.S. community. Actually, our brothers and sisters around the world could disciple us in this much better. Psalms 133, I think it came out on Election Day on New Version. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Then the Lord commands a blessing. So unity starts with humility. an interdependent partnership. We don't impose on one another. It's okay to say, no, that's not going to be a good idea. Especially if you're the donor from the West, you need to be especially sensitive about offering up suggestions. Because the temptation is that our partner will say, well, yes to that when they really mean no. So we just want to be honoring that relationship. And collaboration starts with felt needs. So a friend of mine is a pastor, and his church is right across the street from the largest trailer park in the state of Kentucky. So he noticed that these folks are always struggling with financial problems. And so he said, I got an idea. I'm going to take that Dave Ramsey financial freedom class. I'm going to be certified in it. Then I'm going to teach these guys in my community how to do that. So he gets certified, takes the class, reserves the room, puts flyers in all the mailboxes. So the night of the class comes, guess what happens? Zero. Now, was it a need? Absolutely was a need. But it wasn't a felt need because he wasn't in a deep enough relationship with the community. So, number four. You guys know the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. You know the great commission. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. Who knows the great concern? If you do, raise your hand. And what scripture is it from? Matthew 25. Yeah. Okay. So, Daniel mentioned this too in his talk. When we're ministering, we want to minister in all three areas simultaneously. Which means that we don't do them separate. In the West, we tend to segment things. And so if we are tempted to segment the great concern, and we'll talk about the great concern a little bit more, and leave out the great commission and great commandment, we've missed it. Then, my senior pastor here for years, he said, hey, you be careful of that great concern. He goes, that's social justice. Is Jesus interested in social justice? Of course he is. But he's also interested in the great commission and the great commandment. And we're to do all three simultaneously, all mixed together. No compromise on that. That's a little bit what Daniel was talking about, right? So if your strategy doesn't include all of that, then it's not the gospel. So we'll share more about the great concern in a minute. We are, as human beings, physically, we're physical, we're social, we're emotional, we're spiritual. And God calls us to minister all aspects of the human being. If part of us is unhealthy, then our whole being is unhealthy. Take, for example, pornography addiction. And what is it? The emotional damage it creates for a person. But it also has a ripple effect, and it affects them socially, spiritually, and physically. So in the church, sometimes we have a temptation to just address the spiritual side of things. And that's not what God says. We want to minister to the whole person. And Jesus propels us to do that. We also, number six, we want to leverage the resources God has placed in the community. There's a couple here, missionaries to Ghana for a season, 3 years, from Kenya. And Kenyans make amazing missionaries, by the way. So they go to West Africa, and they're teaching these principles of holistic ministry to the church. So as they teach, then short-term teams are invited to come in and do some training. So this one pastor in northern Ghana, which is predominantly Muslim, he says, hey, Francis, you got all these white folks with you all the time? Why don't you send them over and build us a church? Well, that's what we used to do all the time, didn't we? And quite well. And Francis said, I'm not going to do that. You build your own church. He says, we don't have what it takes to do that. And this church was being very successful. It was busting at the seams. They needed a new church. So Francis started explaining to him the resources that are in his community. You got men that can make block. You got sand. I'll show you how to do a capital campaign. So this Kenyan missionary shows this Ghanaian pastor how to do that. And in 3 years, they build a brand new church all by themselves. Not one single white missionary from the West. Not one single penny from the West. Now, what does that do to your dignity when you can do that? And then on top of that, this pastor, other pastors took note. He taught two other pastors how to do the same thing. All because their mindset was holistic. That God has placed these resources. He's not going to leave us alone. He's going to put the resources that we need. So when the church starts to understand that the problems in a community are a church problem, and they start to own the problems with the community, and they start to ask God to what His plan is on how to address them, things change dramatically. Let's take Louisville, Kentucky, for example. In Louisville, we have single moms. 45% of the single moms that live in our city are, they live in poverty. 700 churches in our city and 45% of the single moms live in poverty? That something's wrong with that. 24% of 8th graders in the public schools can read at the 8th grade level. Yet, 87% of those students will graduate. That's a problem. And, like, where's our mindset? So, the church, it's important they understand that the problems that the community has are their own problems. They need to ask God, what's His plan to address it? So, when we look at this situation, then we can see that we got to do something with this, for these kids. So, it ends well. So 6 years ago, we launched a ministry called Hope Collaborative. The purpose of Hope Collaborative was to put mentors in the public school system. Each mentor would have 4 students. Each mentor would spend 1 hour per week with these 4 students for the whole school year. The purpose was to engage all churches in our community, not just Southeast Christian Church. And I can say now there's over 1,000 kids being mentored in our city by the church. There's over 40 churches that are providing mentors. We're not hiring folks. And these mentors are falling in love with these kids. When they go from elementary school to middle school, the mentors go with them. When they go from middle school to high school, the mentors go with them. So these are long-term relationships, and there's very high retention in the process. So that's just one example of what we do when we let what the Lord show us. Now, we had some help from Tony Evans because he modeled that for us. When I was in business, I owned a couple of businesses. We didn't want to share our trade secrets because we would create a competitor. Well, that's beautiful about the kingdom. We want to share our trade secrets to build the kingdom. So let's go back to the great concern now. I'll read it from Matthew 25. And then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. I tell you the truth, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Using Hope Collaborative, especially after this COVID pandemic, kids are really struggling. And when they have someone that can love them once a week on a consistent basis, it's a game changer for these kids. And the school system is trying to say, well, this kid's getting better because of this, or this teacher, or this program. And after about 2 years, they say no. It's because they have somebody that loves them. So even the community is seeing the difference it's having in these kids' lives. So the list of concerns that are here, God didn't have enough paper to write all the concerns that are out there. And so, I mean, there's a few listed there about trauma. You can see, and it goes on and on. And guys, there's more answers in this room on how we can equip the church around the world to, in these skills, to help them be more impactful and relevant and bring people to faith in Jesus. So let me talk about trauma just a little bit. You know, you saw the pullout in Afghanistan. I've been to Afghanistan several times. The Taliban, they're just brutal people. They have a saying in Afghanistan, or the Taliban have a saying, you know, they devalue women so much, it's not worth the bullet it would take to shoot one. That's crazy. It's so sinister. And when they take over, they took revenge on all those that collaborated with the West. And they so many of these refugees went to Tajikistan, experiencing all this trauma. So a team from the U.S. goes there and starts teaching these ladies from a biblical point of view how to deal with the trauma they've experienced. And after 6 days, they're starting to experience some real healing. But the purpose of them being there is to train these ladies how to share this with others. So now, these ladies, many of them Muslim, are hearing these biblical principles, and they're starting to share it with their friends because they're getting healing. This is the power of a 6-day short-term mission trip to pass on skills to others. One close to my heart is a dental pain. Has anybody ever had a toothache in here? Oh, I heard of it, yeah. My wife's grandmother had 10 babies. She said, I'd rather have a baby any day than have a toothache. That's the kind of pain, men, that it is. So we went 20 years ago. A group of us then started going and training others, the church, how to give local anesthetics safely and how to extract an abscess tooth safely. Now there's been millions of teeth extracted all over the world through the local church. And here's what's happened. Here's you guys that see patients, you know what happens. When a patient sits in a dental chair and they lay their head back and they open their mouth and they let you put their hands in their mouth, you two are no longer casual acquaintances. Like you're friends for life. You get a chance to pray for them, to proclaim the good news of Jesus to them. And it doesn't matter if they're Muslim. It doesn't, because if they're hurting, they'll listen to anything you have to say. They could care less. So, and then when you're done, you can tell them, you know, tomorrow when you wake up in this pain you've had for years, we'll be gone, and you can thank Jesus for what he did. And there's just power. Jesus used health care. There's a connection between physical health and the gospel. And he used it all the time. So, you know, in the U.S., we have all these resources in healthcare and education, economic development, mental health. Agriculture is a big one for us. And if we'll take these skills and we'll pass it on to this global South churches that are all over the place, it just bears phenomenal fruit. If you do farming, then, and you increase the yield of the farmers, then there's more money for the church. So, when we can help the local church, when we share these vast resources, I don't mean just share them, I mean put it in their hands. Give them the skills it takes to deal with trauma, to deal with healthcare issues, to be better farmers. We fulfill the mandate to help these churches be salt and light in darkness. Okay, so are you getting it? You understand the shift from the global north to the global south? We don't have to put our stuff in coffins anymore like our forefathers did. So there's three ministries I want to highlight. One is ITEC. ITEC is like the grandfather of all this, and Steve Saint started. He noticed that, why are we doing things for people that they can do for themselves? Why do you go, Charlie, and treat patients? Why don't you go train them how to do it? So if you notice on this list, there's a lot missing. I don't see physical therapy on there, occupational therapy, all kinds of things. Just be creative. And the church, local church will be so grateful and more impactful. So it started with ITEC, and then from ITEC came Empower, which focused on dentistry. So there's a whole cadre of dentists, and actually there's not enough dentists to go and train. I went to India in January, and the dentist that was with me was 78 years old. He went on this trip. He taught me so much about surgery. So it doesn't matter the age, but if we build our life around Jesus, He'll open these doors for us to have great impact. And if God's called you to serve long term, go. But you don't have to serve long term. You can have an impact by 2 or 3 mission trips a year where you're passing your skills on to someone else. Hold on a second. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. In Mexico, where we work, palliative care is non-existent. No nursing homes, no adult daycare, no geriatric clinic. Basically, the elderly, if they don't have family who can and will take care of them, are begging on the streets or dying in the gutters. We can train the church to do palliative care.
Mm-hmm. So does the church understand that that issue is a church issue?
No.
Okay, that's the problem.
They don't
know, because you know why? They don't know these principles are straight out of the Bible about the role of the church in a community. So that's why when these missionaries from Kenya go and they teach the church, that's their role, now they automatically start to stand up and take responsibility. You don't have to tell them, you need to do something about this issue. So it's a completely different approach than we've traditionally done from the West. Okay. Did I mention Teach to Transform? Teach to Transform. Okay. This ministry hadn't been around that long, but they've had already over 1 million proclamations of the gospel all through Africa, India, Asia, of the teams that they've trained to address healthcare needs, to do wound care, to do farming. So that's the power of connecting with people. And here's another thing that happens. When you go to a place like India and you equip a pastor on how to be a dentist, he's not a dentist. We call them dental health care workers. They're not dentists, because dentists have 4 years of college. But they're so proficient at extraction of teeth that the community calls them doctors, and they're not doctors. And so I got a picture of Dr. Sunil. He's not a doctor. I call him doctor. He's a pastor. But he's so esteemed by the community. When they have a health fair, they bring him in. He's got a lab coat on, and he's sitting there with all these physicians serving the community. That's how proficient they are and skilled they are. So that's where we are. So let me invite 2 guys from India up and let them share the impact that this training has had on their ministry. Let me bring Caleb up first. Caleb Rayapati he's been a partner of Southeast Christian Church for a long time. We trained his pastors in, what year was that? 19 years ago? 2005, on how to safely extract teeth. So when I called Caleb, I said, Caleb, is this a need in your community? He goes, oh, yeah. People suffer a lot. And I said, can we come train you? He goes, okay, let me check. And everybody told him, don't do it. Do not do it. You'll jeopardize your ministry. You jeopardize your reputation and everything. So, we need folks like this that are willing to take that risk. And you can talk a little about that too, Caleb. So, step to the microphone and just share with folks how short-term teams that have come to train has impacted your ministry.
As Charlie said, they came. I was initially reluctant to have them teach dentistry for 1 week and then have our guys go and do dentistry and extract. So I wasn't convinced, but then I trusted them. I prayed. I also sought counsel of my own friend circles consisting of doctors. They said, it does not happen that way. 1 week, I prayed, trusted God, I had peace, I had them come over, and lo and behold, I could not believe my own self that these pastors, I'm talking about grassroots evangelists / pastors out in the rural communities that I work with, that these men would be able to impart them with such skills in such short time that they would actually go and practice it themselves. In one instance, I will like to highlight is one of the training sessions or the camps that we have done. We were going around. They taught them all about those roots, cavities, and the lower cavity has two roots. And then, as the they were going...
The lower tooth has two roots.
Two roots.
Yeah.
They were examining this trainee, the pastors / evangelists doing extractions, the training watched by Charlie Vitito and a few others. Charlie came around and asked the pastor how many roots this molar has. He looked around. He was actually working on him and he said three. And then Charlie took me aside and shook his head. It's not three, but we will allow him to do. And lo and behold, after 15 or 20 minutes, this guy came with a trophy. You know what was the trophy? The extraction of the tooth, and lo and behold, it had three roots. Charlie Vitito, the dentist who trained for four or more years, taught him two, but then this pastor came with three. So I just want to emphasize the fact that these guys not only learned, but then they waited, they committed themselves to use it, and God went ahead of them, provided them the wisdom, and blessed their little skills to do much. And so right now, 15 of my pastors do dentistry, and all of them do this more like a part-time job. They are pastors, they have churches, but then they open their churches to a clinic, they turn the church to a clinic on 1 week of a day. So people come, and in one instance, several instances, the local government doctors, physicians, send the dental cases they have over to these pastors, to the churches where they get their dentistry done. How about that? So that's what the training has done for me and my men. We have used our local means also to strategically reach out to people and make this happen, legalize it. Technically, we cannot do it. I'm sorry, legally we cannot. But then, again, God has given us wisdom to make things happen using the strategic means. Again, that's what the training does. When they come with good intentions to empower people, to the right people, so the right people can take it forward, multiply those gifts.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm talking about Sunil that he mentioned. There are a couple of guys. When they come to train, when they have critical cases, they back off and these guys do it. Is that right, Charlie?
That's right.
Okay.
I don't want carpal tunnel, you know, working on those teeth and all that. You know, Caleb, you didn't have to share that story. I've heard that story 50 times. Like, yeah, you missed that route, Charlie. But
I can tell more stories.
I know you can. So we're going to spare these fine folks those stories, okay? So tell us about the impact it has when they witness. Come to this microphone.
You know, we have castes, high castes, the low caste. We had some high caste people who do not normally come and mingle with the low caste, come sit on our dental chairs, bang on the table, they receive the gospel. They would never, ever would have come to this Christian camps. They came and they received the gospel.
Excellent. Okay, you had a question?
Yeah, I only want to know if any time you have any complications with
We have done, according to the last calculations we had over 7,000.
And complications?
No. Okay. We have done. I'm coming to that. Over 7,000 extractions, and we have one apprentice, a medical dentist, who used to tag on with us to gain some experience. And he says, he calls me uncle. Uncle, every single day in our dental hospital, we have so many people have complications. We have done so much, not a single complication. And then there was one manipulated complication. There were some people who wanted to implicate us. They said, just because she came to your clinic, she has some complication, which was not. Later on, we proved it. So no complications. They do a very, very efficient. Ask Dr. Charlie about it.
Yeah, they do. They do. As a matter of fact, I would rather take them on a trip than go with American dentists. Yeah, they're that skilled at it. So, okay, I'm going to bring up Shankar Pawa. He's from India also, but this is not restricted to India. But in India, it's less than 10% Christian. What's the percentage?
Officially 2.7.
2.7.
Officially probably more.
Yeah, probably twice that. So, and the Hindu government is very anti. So, you could go to prison in many states for sharing your faith. So this is a tool that I'm going to bring up Shankar. He's used many tools, not just dentistry, but he's used a lot of them by teams coming from the West to train. So if you could share the impact, Shankar, that these teams have had on your ministry.
Thank you so much, Ed.
You're welcome.
And India is not easy now to share the gospel. So we are facing many persecutions, especially in North India, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh. And I worked in 22 states in India, mainly involved in disciple making and church planting. So when these tools like dentistry and medical farming was introduced to my organization, and what I believe is disciple making is more relational. I work among almost like a 7 unreached group in India. I come from a unreached group. I'm from gypsy background, and like they are having many needs. Like if they get toothache, so they never go to doctor because it's expensive, and either they will put tobacco or claw oil to get rid of from that pain. And it's not easy to, you know, like visiting to doctor or going to healthcare. They are below poverty. And when we started this dental hygiene and extraction training with our pastors, we brought our pastors from different states and started training them. The main focus is that, you know, to share the gospel, building our relationship with our community, to reach them, share about Jesus. Our pastor got trained. Charlie and his team, they came and they trained our pastor with dental hygiene and extraction. that becomes such a great impact. We started cleaning among the community in Snam, where we have huge number of people going through a lot of toothache, a lot of dental problems. And started our clinic every Friday and every Saturday. Invited them that they can come and, you know, get the treatment. Some people pay, some people they don't have any money, and some we take like small charges. The best part of this program is that we get enough time. Like for extraction, we get like a half an hour. Dental hygiene, we get 15 to 20 minutes. And that time we get chance to, you know, talk to them and to know about their family, how they are doing, any problem they have. And at the same time, we get chance to share the gospel. We have seen almost like 3,000 plus patients past couple of years. And almost like a more than 50% people, they have heard gospel about Jesus. And almost like 204 house churches we have started through this program. This is like you, like I'm meeting my community need and helping them the same way medical and trauma, where checking the blood pressure, no one does that in India. It's like no one bothers about going to doctor and checking their blood pressure. If they get any kind of a cut or any kind of a wound, they don't go to hospital. So here, again, our team comes, you know, with this training and, you know, visiting door to door. And it's become like a outreach tool. So when this medical backpack given to our pastors and leader, we don't call that medical backpacks, but we call outreach tool. We cannot do open outreach anymore in India. Sharing gospel openly, it's no more in India. Handing out the tracts, no more in India now. But getting those medical backpack, you're visiting someone, checking their blood pressure, no one will say no. They will say come, they will welcome. They welcome and, you know, they offer to, you know, other family members, you know, checking their blood pressure, taking care of their wound, temperature check and all. We, like this year, from month of January till now, 300,000 people, they have heard the gospel through 150 pastors in the almost like 22 states. So the whole idea of this, the medical and dentistry and farming God's way, we want to see the gospel to be shared to unreached people. This is the kind of a program where we are building our relationship with them and discipling them. As we are starting sharing the gospel, those people showing their interest through this program, when they show their interest, we ask them for prayer. We ask them for prayer and then we pray for them. They open their house for prayer meeting and, you know, same time we start discipling them, you know, starting the Discovery Bible study with them and praying for them, getting engaged for them. So whatever the program that, you know, that dentistry, medical, farming and trauma healing has really impacted our ministry, and almost like 7,000 plus villages we are working in all those 22 states of India.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So we're about out of time. What's that say? I can't see that far. Okay. So I have more to share, but what questions do you have? I'll start over here on this side of the room. Yes.
How can we get in contact with you? You're part of Reaching Indians Ministry International.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. So we can talk afterwards.
Yep.
And there's lots of ministries that are doing this now, so it'd be good. Excellent. That's awesome. Yes.
How do you implement this program for the children? Something I am really passionate about, with the schools, with the audience, and how do you background, test, everything that you need to do with all the vulnerabilities that you have?
Uh-huh.
How do you work with children? You know?
Are you talking about in the U.S.?
Yeah, here.
Okay.
Different
Yeah, yeah. So there's some really good clinics. Are you working with a Christian health clinic in any way?
No.
Okay. There's a bunch of those folks. If you're part of that, raise your hand. There's not anybody here. There's some really. There we go. Right back here. So they can help you. We have in Louisville. We have a clinic like that that does a lot, helps a lot of kids with dentistry. They actually put dental clinics in the schools.
No, I'm talking about the part that you do with the schools that you go to. The
school. Oh, you're talking about Hope Collaborative?
Yes.
That's a local ministry. This is a missions conference. I'm teasing. Okay. Yeah, that's a mission. You're right. Okay. This ministry should be emulated across the country, by the way, Hope Collaborative.
Yeah.
It's a great way to mobilize the church, and the retention of these mentors is off the chart, so let's talk about that later.
Okay?
Over on this side. Yes, ma'am.
Just wondering what part of India.
Okay, thank you. Good question. Caleb is from Hyderabad, and Shankar is from Mumbai. How many churches do you have, like, oversee, Caleb, with your pastors? 120 churches he represents, Shankar?
We have 63 Sunday churches and 3,000 plus house churches.
I love the way he says that, because India is a little shaky, aren't that sometimes, right? I have 14 million churches. So he has Sunday churches and he has house churches. So, yeah. So feel free to talk to these guys. Okay, real quick. Who's a Global South leader? You're from the Global South, and you lead ministry. Stand up. That's Shankar and Caleb and Victor. Okay, stand up. Joseph and Alice and Francis and Pamela. Anybody else? These are significant leaders in the kingdom. You should get to know them. They do phenomenal work in holistic ministry. That is off the chart. Crazy. So thank you guys. So you got your eyes on them. Feel free to start a conversation with them. So, yeah. Okay. One more question over here. Oh, Daniel Atia, you didn't stand up. You know, everybody knows you already. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions over here? Over here? Okay, what about the legality of this? Man, this is surgery these guys are doing. And some of them don't even have a high school education. So, that's why this partnership is so key. So, Shankar, Francis, Caleb, they're the ones, Daniel, they're the ones dealing with the local legal issues. Because we fly in and out, and we're gone. So they know how to maneuver in their community. That's why this partnership is so important. Let's end with a real sad story. Yes, ma'am. You saved me. Saved us. So here's what happens. Here's what, like, a TIA did. There's dental clinics there, but they're not, and the government provides them, but there's no equipment to operate. So when they come in, and we set up and we train with Daniel, then here comes the health officials. And he says, what are you guys doing here? Well, what are you doing here? Well, we're teaching these guys how to do dentistry. And he goes, well, you can't do that. And he goes, well, you're not doing your job. We're serving the community, and you're not. So just going back to where you came. That's Daniel, okay? So everybody's different. So in northern Ghana, they said, okay, the Ministry of Health came to the clinic, but first the Ministry of Health went to the community, and they started doing a survey. Hey, they're having a clinic. Are they helping people? And this Ministry of Health found out, oh, they're helping a lot of people and doing a great job. So then the Ministry of Health comes to the clinic and said, look, let me see how you're doing things, noticing that all the instruments they use is the instruments I used when I did dentistry here. I mean, shiny and bright, their sterilization technique was good. They said, you guys keep on doing what you're doing, even though they weren't legally supposed to, but we're not serving the community, so you're doing a good job, so go serve them. So everybody has to deal with it differently. We're not going to go to Nairobi. We're not going to go to probably Central or South America. We might go to the remote areas of the Amazon where there's not healthcare available. But in heavily Hindu, heavily Muslim, heavily Buddhist communities, that healthcare, they could care less about that. And as there's no access to it, those are great places to bring these strategies.
and then you get the opportunity to share the faith. So, yeah. How much time do we have now? You don't have any? Okay. Okay, maybe next year you'll hear the story. It's a great one. Sorry about that. All right, let me pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for our time together. And we pray, Lord, these things from your word that touched hearts would propel folks to engage. In Jesus' name, amen.